Hello everyone, I'm Yves Deschaine. I'm with Marc-André Wieselowski.
Hello.
And we are proud to present to you this first edition of Refuge, the podcast from the Jesuit Refugee Service of Canada. Marc-André, what we have on the menu today?
Well, today it's our first podcast and it's an exciting moment for JRS as we're celebrating our 40th anniversary. So I was able to talk with a couple of Jesuits who have a lot of experience working with refugees, or some more directly than others. The first one is the Father Provincial of the Province of Canada, Eric Oland, Province of Canada, including Haiti as well.
Yeah.
And the other one with Father Peter Bisson, who has worked intimately with refugees for a number of years throughout his Jesuit life.
Great. And I had a conversation with Norbert Pichet, the country director of JRS Canada. So, an anniversary?
Yep.
Marc-André, if I tell you once upon a time in 1980.
That's right, 40 years ago.
Yep.
13 years before I was born.
Oh, okay. Oh my gosh. A long time ago.
Oh, that means I'll be 40 in 13 years. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, this isn't about me. This is about JRS. Okay. JRS started in 1980, and it was Father Pedro Arrupe, who was the general at the time, who called Jesuits together to respond to a huge crisis that was going on, namely the Vietnamese boat people in Southeast Asia. These migrants were in a terrible, deplorable situation. So there was a call from Pedro Arrupe to the entire Society of Jesus, all the Jesuits, to say, we've got to do something to respond to this. I can read the quote directly from him. He says, "This situation constitutes a challenge to the society we cannot ignore if we are to remain faithful to St. Ignatius's criteria for our apostolic work." I mean, it's all right there. That was in his letter on November 14th, 1980.
Oh,
40 years ago.
Exactly.
To say that, look, there are people, they're suffering. We've got to do something to respond.
So he asked to Jesuits to collaborate, to go in Asia and to participate in the refugee camps. They had also some kind of fundraising.
Yes. Well, now, namely, the first Canadian Jesuit response, we could say, to this call was within French Canada. Hundreds of thousands of dollars were raised to start sponsoring refugees to come to Canada from this part of the world. So really providing a durable solution to their migration issues was to give them a way to come to Canada and to immigrate in Canada. And the French-Canadian Jesuits did that for a number, I think hundreds of families at the start, yeah.
Yeah. So, just like you said at the beginning, you met the superior of the province
That's
of
correct.
Canada and Haiti to exactly talk to the engagement and the mission with refugees of the Jesuits then and still.
And still today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we're going to meet.
Yeah, we're going to meet now Father Eric Oland. Let's hear what he has to say, or what he had to say, about our 40th anniversary and the work of the refugee apostolate. Hello, everyone. I'm here with Father Eric Oland in Montreal at the Provincial Curia of the Jesuit Province of Canada and Haiti. Father Eric is the provincial of this province, and he's going to talk with us a bit today about the 40th anniversary of Jesuit Refugee Service. Eric, how are you doing today?
Very well, thanks, Marc-André. It's nice to be here with you and nice to honor this anniversary.
To start off, you've been provincial now of the new province of Canada and Haiti for over 2 years, and in addition to your provincialate, Father General Arturo Sosa has given the entire Society of Jesus these four apostolic preferences meant to be lived out by all communities, all apostolates. And so you've led a kind of discernment, a pretty hefty discernment, I think, in this province, on how to apply the four apostolic preferences to Canada and to Haiti. Now, to do that, you've produced a beautiful letter on the name of the new province, how we are to live this out. And a phrase from this letter really sticks out to us at JRS. I'm going to read it for you. We want not just to serve, but to walk with Indigenous peoples, the impoverished, refugees, and migrants. And what does this mean to you?
Of course, the phrase and then, or the name in the province is walking together as pilgrims with Jesus. So pilgrims together walking, that image is a very powerful one. And recently, for example, I was thinking about the image and returning to my own experience of having walked the Camino of Santiago de Compostela. And I was reflecting upon that in terms of the various levels of what it means to be a pilgrim. When one is on a pilgrimage, one is embarking on an individual journey to some degree. But in the journey, one makes a communion with both the path that you're walking on, but perhaps even more significantly with the people that you meet, the various people that you meet. And so not only do we want to walk together with Jesus, we want to walk together with our fellow brothers and sisters. And those people who we don't necessarily know, those people who do not necessarily share the same culture as we do. And in particular, with reference to the quote from our document that you just shared, in particular, walking closely with those people who historically have been excluded from the pilgrimage that we would call, for example, our affluent Canadian culture. I think the work of the society universally, and also in our own Jesuit province of Canada, which significantly, as you mentioned, includes Haiti, we make a particular, or take a particular option for those who are less fortunate than we are, you and I, and those who have been excluded, whether they be the Indigenous First Nations people of this country that have been excluded ever since the Europeans came and kind of more or less took over, or whether it's those people who are fleeing injustices and poverty in countries all over the world, who look upon Canada as a place of refuge, a place where people are included as opposed to excluded because of various social groups, etc. And so I think the province of Canada, in line with what Father General's desire is embarking on this pilgrimage. And it's a relatively new province, as you mentioned, just 2 years. But also in terms of our own moving forward in this pilgrimage, to take particular care in terms of our relationships and our rapport with Indigenous people and with refugee and migrants who are coming here seeking the promise that they hear that Canada can offer them.
Thank you. Now, talking globally, but also locally here in Canada, we see a trend right now of anti-immigration policies. You know, for whatever reason, there seems to be a kind of fear of the other being built up. So maybe in your own words, could you share with us, why is there a need to defend the person who is excluded, marginalized, and rejected at our borders?
I think it's a natural human trait. First of all, survival. And living within a protected social grouping. So I think, especially as Jesuits and as Christians, we have learned that everyone is our neighbor. Fratelli Tutti, the new encyclical by Pope Francis, is based around the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? And basically the answer is everybody, every fellow human being, every brother and sister human being, no matter where they come from, no matter what their background is our neighbor. We, as the Jesuit imperative, the Christian imperative, is to break outside that, break away from that kind of human tendency of self-protection in our own small groupings, and just trust that, first of all, God is in our work, God is desiring this, and that there's a moral imperative there. There's a moral imperative there to embrace our brothers and sisters, wherever they come from, whatever their background, as fellow human beings who have essentially the same rights and privileges that we do, coming from our more affluent culture. And so our duty is to be able to go out to them, not just to help them, to get to know them, and as much as possible to walk with them.
Now, Jesuit Refugee Service, as you know, we're celebrating our 40th anniversary across the globe, but that includes Canada. JRS, the Jesuits, have been working with migrants and refugees for 40 years now. Many, many people have contributed to this wonderful work of defending and accompanying migrants and refugees. Are there any outstanding contributions you'd like to maybe commemorate or give a shout out to for this 40th anniversary?
Okay. Well, I'm probably not the only one who is going to share this, but I need to share this because it's deeply significant for me. JRS was inaugurated, founded by Pedro Arrupe 40 years ago. Father Arrupe is considered like the second founder of the Society of Jesus. He was a Basque, like Ignatius. You know, if you look at his profile and look at Ignatius' portraits and things, they actually even look a little bit alike. But with Father Arrupe and his intuition of the importance of founding a refugee service as an important universal apostolate of the Society of Jesus is both very inspiring and also very prophetic. And I think that as the Society of Jesus has continued to develop and to continue to read the signs of the times, as we say, and respond to those signs of the times, we've also grown with organizations such as JRS to basically live out the contemporary mission of the Society of Jesus. So Father Arrupe is at the root of all that. In our own Canadian context, what I know mostly about is from my time in Toronto. I was only in Toronto for 3 years doing theology studies, but the work of the Jesuit Refugee and Migrant Service is based out of a place called Romero House, and fellow Jesuit Jack Costello has been engaged with that since the beginning, and also this wonderful sister, Mary Jo Leddy, who was also a professor at Regis College. Both Mary Jo and Jack are wonderful examples of these highly intelligent academics who really, for lack of a better way of putting it, put their money where their mouth is. So here they are, you know, they've been teaching hundreds of students over the last 40 years. Yet they've also dedicated a lot of their time and energy to refugees and migrants through Romero House, which is still going. They may be slowing down because neither Mary Jo or Jack are that young, but they're still very vibrant and very vital and quite an inspiration to me.
Thank you for taking the time today to talk a little bit about JRS and the province. We wish you well in the continuation of your provincialate. And well, till next time.
Thank you. And I'm delighted to have JRS just on the floor above me.
With, yes. We're delighted to be close to. That was Father Eric Olin, Provincial of the Jesuits in Canada and Haiti, here in Montreal.
Montreal, we are going to Toronto, 1985, a new service, a new office, a new program for the refugees here in Canada. And one of the Jesuits who was part of this launch was, you talked with him.
That's right, yeah. So in Toronto in 1985, we begin to see the English Canada response to the call of Father Pedro Arrupe to accompany, defend, and serve refugees. This happened at the Jesuit Center for Social Faith and Justice, which created in 1985 a Jesuit refugee program. So it's sort of the first instance of what we would call now JRS, Jesuit Refugee Service, in mm-hmm. English Canada. And at the very beginning, Father Peter Bisson, who was just in formation at the time, he was a very young Jesuit, was able to contribute to the start of this new refugee apostolate in English Canada. It had four pillars or four objectives. The first is accompanying refugees. Second, improving government policies around the welcome of refugees. The third is to support refugees outside of Canada. And the fourth, education of the Canadian public about refugees. And as we'll hear from Father Peter Bisson in just a few moments, he was heavily involved in that fourth element of going around Canada and teaching people about what it's like to be a refugee and why we should respond.
So you met with Father Bisson online?
That's right, online. So we were here in Montreal while Father Peter Bisson was talking from his community in Ottawa.
Joining us from Ottawa is Father Peter Bisson, who has had a huge experience of working with refugees throughout the history of the Canadian initiative of Jesuit Refugee Service. So how are you doing, Peter?
I'm doing well. I'm happy with this first snow. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Great, great. It's really good to see you too. Thank you for being willing to do this interview. So let's start off with your first experiences working with refugees. I believe early on in your formation, around 1985, your superiors sent you to go work in Toronto for a new Jesuit social justice initiative, and specifically having to do with refugees. So can you share a little bit of your experience of your mission back in 1985?
Sure, I'd be glad to. So this was my second year of novitiate. So I was there about 4 months at the Jesuit Center for Social Faith and Justice. And this, as you said, was a new project of work for refugees, not so much with refugees, but for refugees, and trying to use contact with refugees as a way to encourage ordinary Christians to make a connection between faith and social justice. So I worked with a lawyer, Lauren Waldman, who was one of the main refugee advocates in Toronto, probably one of the bigger ones in Canada at the time also. And a big part of my work was to make connections with other organizations that were working in various aspects of refugee solidarity in Toronto, but also somewhat in Montreal and somewhat nationally.
Very good. Yeah, that's great. So really early on in your formation, you're already getting this experience working for refugees, as you were saying. But it was only the beginning. I think even later in the 80s, you returned to a similar kind of apostolate. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
That's right. That was 2 years later in 1987. So I had finished my philosophy studies. I was sent back to the Jesuit Center for Social Faith and Justice for 2 years of what we call a regency. So basically 2 years of full-time ministry. So by then the refugee project had developed quite a bit. And it was, I was part of a team of three people. And a fourth was Lauren Waldman, who had his own office outside of the Jesuit Center. So the two other people that I worked with were, one had come from the basically social justice networks, and the other was a lawyer from Montreal who was part of the Jesuit volunteer program that we had at the time. So a good part of our work, especially of my work, was to prepare an educational kit that we would then use to conscientize ordinary Canadians, especially Christians, to the problems of refugees, to their needs, and to the structures of injustice that forced people to flee and to seek asylum eventually in Canada. So this, it took us about a year to develop the kit, and it had many components in it, like media analysis, the social justice problems that force people to flee, practical responses that people could do. And the second year of my work was traveling around the country using the kit and showing people how to use the kit to sensitize people to the needs and the needs of refugees and the social justice problems that they basically represented. Part of the context too was that the federal government was at that time preparing a new law about asylum. So part of our hope also was to use this kit to generate grassroots advocacy to influence the bill so it would be as open as possible once it became law.
Thank you, Peter. Then later on, more recently, from 2012 to 2018, I believe you were the provincial of the Jesuits of English Canada. During that time, as being the superior of this vast region of the country, what was your experience then of the ministry towards refugees and to those who are facing forced migration?
In the English side of the country, that ministry had diminished somewhat, but had strengthened on the French side of the Jesuit world in Canada. So it seemed important to strengthen the work, both because it was needed and because it would fit us better into the worldwide Society of Jesus. I would say that overall, unfortunately, the need for the Jesuit Refugee Service has grown because the phenomenon of forced migration and refugees has unfortunately grown. And it says a lot about the nature of the world that we have built. But the way the Jesuit Refugee Service works, it first of all puts us into direct contact with refugees, whether it's in camps, or as in moments of crisis, or as they're seeking asylum and settlement in countries like Canada. And it's getting to know refugees as people and as our friends that gives concrete depth to our social analysis and concrete rootedness to our advocacy. We're not just talking about theoretical concepts or people that we hear about, but people that we actually know and whose situations and families we actually know. So I would say the JRS has become an important part of the work of the Society of Jesus in the world, and it has transformed us because it has transformed us and in many ways I would say simplified us, made us more humble, because it's extended our friendships with people who have very serious problems, but who, with and despite their serious problems, are real people and they're our friends. We've learned a lot from them. And like I said, it's really rooted us in the life of the world and its shadows and its lights. And in that way has helped, I think, root us much more in the presence of the Lord in our world.
Thank you so much, Peter, for that beautiful answer. What a beautiful outlook of the work of Jesuit Refugee Service. Maybe now, as a final question, JRS across the world, but also which includes Canada, is celebrating its 40th anniversary very, very soon. What would maybe be your wish for JRS during this time of memory and celebration?
Well, my first wish would be that there would be no refugees and no need for the JRS. Now, that's a long-term wish. But for now, I would say thank you and God bless you to the JRS, and stick to the mission and stay close to the refugees. They're our friends, they're our brothers and sisters, and they've helped us get to know Jesus in new ways. So stay with it and continue to work from a place of joy. I think JRS deals with very serious problems, yet the atmosphere has always been one of joy. And that is a great witness to social justice. It attracts people and it gives spiritual depth to our work.
Thank you so much, Peter. That was Father Peter Bisson joining us directly from Ottawa, Ontario.
Once again, Marc-André, thank you for this conversation, this interview with Father Bisson.
Well, thank you, Yves, for making it possible.
So, 2015, the actual GRS office is found here in Montreal, mm-hmm. and it's a national one. It's for coast-to-coast services. And so, the actual director, national director, Norbert Pichet, was hired at that time, and it's still...
Yes, he's still the national director. He's still our boss.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. And I had the chance to talk with him a few days ago. So this is the conversation I have with him.
We meet Norbert Pichet, country director of the Jesuit Refugee Service, Canada. Hello, Norbert.
Hi, Yves.
On your Facebook page, we can read this sentence. We are walking by their sides. What does it mean in the context of GRS?
Well, in the context of GRS, to walk by their sides, to walk by the sides of refugees, is very significant because it might appear to be something quite simple to walk by the sides of people. But it's difficult. Yes, it's simple, but it's not always easy. And why is that? Well, in a lot of cases, these people come from war-torn countries. They had to flee for their lives. They left family behind, they left their jobs, their houses, they left everything behind, and they find themselves here with practically nothing. And so to walk by their sides is, sure, it's simple to walk beside somebody and to accompany somebody, but when you start to listen to them, to their stories, they're painful stories oftentimes, that's what's not so easy. And that's when I think we have to to look at how are we going to embrace that? How are we going to embrace their suffering? That, to me, is what compassion is all about. Compassion is the meaning of the word, is to suffer with. And I think if we are truly to be walk with them, if we are truly walking with them, if we are truly accompanying them, we will be suffering with them. We will really have an intimate knowledge of what they are going through. And I think that's what makes the difference. That's the distinction between organizations that are funded by the government, who they are told to keep a distance, a psychological distance from the people that they serve. But I think we are called in our organization, the Jesuit Refugee Service, to walk with them. And then that means to sometimes cross that barrier, if you will, that others impose. And I think that's important, because then we will, at some point, we might realize that we have to embrace our own suffering. We might see things within ourselves as well that are reflected back to us.
Day by day, how do you walk with them? What are you doing? What are the services GRS offered?
Mm-hmm. So the services that we offer, first of all, are the sponsorship services. And so usually what happens is that we have what we call a co-sponsor, somebody who is living here in the Montreal area or maybe outside of Montreal, and who want to sponsor a family member who is a refugee abroad. And why do they come in to see us? Well, they don't necessarily have the means to sponsor by themselves, and so that's why they come to see us. And so we will help them not only with all of the application forms, but we will explain to them, well, this is what's going to happen. And you have to prepare yourself to be able to welcome that person when he or she arrives here. And so there's a whole process that needs to be put in place with that co-sponsor, so that he or she is well prepared to sponsor, to receive, to welcome the refugee once the refugee arrives here. And that takes a lot of time. And once, I mean, it can take a few years before the refugee arrives here.
Oh, really?
Yes. With all of the paperwork that needs to be done, and there's only a certain amount of people that are accepted every year, it can take several years. And so during that time, the co-sponsor and ourselves are in contact with the refugee. And then when the refugee finally arrives here, then we will accompany the co-sponsor to the airport, welcome the refugee. It's always a happy moment at the airport. Obviously, with the pandemic, all of that has been kind of put on hold. There's very few families that have been arriving. However, in normal times, we would accompany and welcome the refugee once they arrive. And then we help the co-sponsor in all those first things that they need to do, such as acquiring the medical card for the refugee, going to registering them for French classes if need be, all those kinds of things. And we ourselves will have direct contact with the refugee to make sure that everything is okay. We usually would visit them in normal times a few weeks after their arrival and then later on as well. But right now we contact them by phone or via Zoom. One of the things that we are presently doing that we've done in the past is have conversation circles with the refugees. They are usually registered with the government classes, and these groups, these conversation groups, help them to practice their French. And so therefore, they are better equipped to integrate into Quebec society. We usually would also have workshops to help them with certain things that they might not understand, such as the equivalency of their diplomas or their degrees. So those are the kinds of practical things that we do with the refugees. And we're hoping to do other things in the future as well.
During the 40 years, because sponsorship start about 1980-81 year. So it is 40 years. And the sponsorship program was one of the most important thing about the Jesuit Refugee Service in Canada. But education and advocacy are very important, and especially in our times. What can you tell us about your works about those two subjects?
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the things that we thought was very important was raising awareness about refugee issues. We started to think about, well, what can we do? And this was a number of years ago. And one of the things that we came up with was a simulation exercise, which was inspired by the blanket exercise, which comes from the organization called Kairos, and that talks about the Native Americans here and their lives, and it helps people understand what they've gone through. And so, inspired by that, we decided, well, let's try to do something similar so that people have a better idea of what a refugee has to go through. So this simulation exercise called A Journey into Exile does exactly that. It gives people an idea what a refugee goes through. They themselves become refugees, so they have to live, even albeit just for an hour or so, they get a chance to really experience what a refugee goes through. And so by doing that, that helps people better understand what a refugee goes through, and then it allows them to kind of ask, well, what can we do about it? Okay. And once they are at that point, then it's kind of like, well, okay, now what do we do? Well, can we get a better idea of why there are refugees in the world today? Is it maybe because of some Canadian mining companies that are operating in different parts of the world that are causing refugees? Is it because of climate change? What are our actions or inactions? What are we doing or not doing that are creating the circumstances that create refugees? And so it gets people to think, and I think that's what is crucial here, is to get people to reflect and to see, okay, this is what's happening. These are what refugees are going through, and what can I do about it?
in the news. We can hear or read a lot about immigration, refugees, but not in a good way, if I can say. New laws, regulations, it seems to be a difficult time for the organization like GRS. But it seems we maybe forget a little bit the persons, the human factor. What are your thoughts about that?
I think that's a very good point. Like we in terms of, we need to always remember the human factor, the person that's there in front of us. Because otherwise, yeah, there's all these people, we refer to them as great numbers, waves of people that are coming, but that kind of clouds the fact that there are individuals here and each one has his or her own story, just like us. And so it's easy to set up regulations, to enact laws, to prevent the numbers, the great numbers, the waves and all that. And I think what we need to do instead of that is to keep in mind that there's always an individual with his or her story there. That person has left for a reason. That person is not, didn't just decide to pick up for no reason, to pick up and leave. There's a very good reason for that departure. And throughout human history, people have been on the move. There's always been people on the move. And it's only recently in the last few centuries that with our whole notion of nation state and putting up borders and all of this kind of stuff, that we have decided that there are some people that are going to be in and some people that are going to be out. And I think we need to rethink that, because we have human beings that are going through very difficult situations. These people flee or because of the climate, because of war-torn areas, because of the activities of mining companies, because of gang warfare, all kinds of reasons. And if we close our borders to these people, we are creating more and more human misery. And I think that we have a responsibility as part of this human family to consider what the other person is going through and to try to put ourselves in that person's shoes. And I think it brings me back to what the Pope says, that no one should be forgotten, because he's thinking about that individual. He's not thinking about the waves. And I think that's the thing that we need to remind ourselves, that everybody must be included. Nobody must be forgotten.
Maybe it can be our wish for this anniversary, that no one must be forgotten.
Yes, very much so. No one should be forgotten. That's the wish.
Norbert Pichet, Country Director of GRS Canada. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yves.
Once again, thank you to Mr. Norbert Pichet, our boss.
Yep, that's right.
We are almost at the end of this first podcast. For this anniversary, Marc-André, maybe a wish?
Well, a wish looking back on the past, a wish of congratulations for all of the great work that GRS has done around the world, accompanying, defending refugees from all different countries. And also perhaps a wish for the future, that this work of accompaniment and of refugees not cease so long as there are refugees. And we know that in our world there are many, and it's a growing number, unfortunately. But that somehow, some way, we can continue to do this work, reminding people of the inherent dignity of each human being here on this earth.
Great words. So, until next time, yeah, we'll be back soon with a new podcast. You can follow us on Facebook, GRS Canada, or on our website, canada.grs.net. Until next time, thank you so much to be a part of this podcast.
Thanks for listening. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.